Hiya and welcome to Intuit, the HuffPost UK entertainment podcast. I'm Daniel Welsh and today I'm joined by Ash Percival and Francesca Syra. This week we're talking kids TV, reality TV mishaps and impressive pop comebacks. But before all that, I want to talk to you about The X Factor, because it's that time of the year again when The X Factor rumours start rolling in. Every day it's a new sort of tedious quote, source quote, insider quote about what Simon Cowell's doing to change the show in sort of inconsequential and unnecessary fashions. But if these latest rumours are true, we might actually notice the change this year, because apparently he has decided to get rid of all of the novelty acts. So if you remember last year, there was two big, quite prominent novelty acts. There was Pratavio, who went quite early on, and there was Honey... Yeah. Rightly so.
They'll probably be in Celebrity Big Brother in a month's time, so...
Look forward to their impressive comeback. And obviously the big novelty act of last year's X Factor was Honey G. She was very controversial because she lasted a long time. And there was a lot of conversation about whether she had any place in the competition. So a source has said ratings plummeted and Simon knew a drastic revamp was needed. But with shows like X Factor and Strictly Come Dancing... are novelty acts par for the course, or should we be focusing on the talent? Ash, speaking of talent, I'm going to come to you first.
What do you think?
Rude.
So I love novelty acts on The X Factor. It's the talking point of every series, isn't it? It's the stuff that generates the headlines. It's the stuff that divides people, which ultimately makes the headlines, doesn't it?
So especially last year, it was dominating the headlines because there was nothing else happening in the program.
We wrote a lot about Honey G last year, and it was the top story of any X Factor story we did last year was always Honey G related. So I like it personally from a journalistic perspective because I think it gives us something to talk about and something to write about.
Oh, I do love when you talk journalism, Ashley.
Thank you. Hashtag journalism.
Oh, God.
But also on a fan level, I just really, like, it's stupid. It's an entertainment show. I'm there to be entertained. Like, acts like Rylan, acts like Wagner, John and Edward. Like, they're such, like, iconic X Factor acts. I don't think you could make quite the same show without them.
Francesca, what do you reckon? I know you've got some opinions about this topic.
Yeah, I think, you know, I kind of agree with Ash, but I think, yes, they need to shake things up. Ratings are dreadful. But I don't think taking novelty acts away from it is the way to go because it's not The Voice where it's like, that's, you know, very like serious and great singers and there's no novelty acts there. That's not what The X Factor is. If they're going to shake it up, shake up the formats or shake up the judging, how that goes about, rather than what everyone associates The X Factor with. I mean, don't get me wrong, it drives me nuts when you get to the final few weeks of the competition and there are acts in there that may not deserve to be because they don't have a better voice, etc. But at the same time, you know, like if you think of last year, people think of Honey G rather than anyone else.
They don't think of Matt Terry,
no,
do they?
That's the fact. Like that's the fact of it.
But the thing is, so here's my issue with novelty, not specifically with novelty acts, but with last year's X Factor. It wasn't so much that we were talking about Honey G because she was the funniest and the most outrageous and all of that. We're talking about Honey G because there was literally nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's that I do agree that we don't necessarily need to get rid of the novelty acts, but I do think that something needs to be done about getting interesting, talented people. Because I don't care if pop stars can't really sing that well. I would rather go and see somebody like Britney Spears than somebody like Emily Sandé. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm more interested in the whole package than necessarily just vocals.
And which is what The X Factor is. It's in its title. Yeah. That's essentially what the show...
It's not the best singer, it's the biggest star.
The acts as well. It's just like a typical... some stands there like sob story. They've got like they're quite shy and they sing. It's all very. It's like they need something a bit more original than
that. It's very formulaic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the same thing every year.
What I'm interested in though, like the novelty acts, particularly in the audition stage, are they still going to be there? Because that's a huge like part of the X Factor is
the
bad
round,
auditions.
Isn't it?
Like that's why people watch the audition shows.
Well, that's what I want to mention actually is the bad auditions because it's people who show up. And they think they can sing and they can't. And we'll have a bit of a laugh and we'll move on with our lives. I don't really like people being exploited or anything like that. But sometimes it is a bit of a cheap laugh, whatever. But with people like Honey G, it never really felt like... I don't know, it felt like a joke. Whereas people like John and Edward and even Wagner and like people like Stevie Ritchie, they were there because they thought they could sing and they wanted to sing. Whereas with Honey G, it felt like she wanted to be.
She was definitely in on the...
Yeah. It felt like she was just there to take the piss. And that's like, John and Edward, I mean, for all that dreadful, I mean, they are really, really dreadful. They were never taking the piss.
No, I don't think. I think Honey G was like she actually convinced herself that she was this. Nah,
surely.
No, I do. Surely. But then to come back to it, like with like Ryland, for example, I love Ryland now and I loved him then. And yeah. He was a novelty act, but at the same time, he was so entertaining to watch. Classified as novelty, but like he kind of made that series for me.
Yeah.
So it's like at the same time as you get rid of that, and then I feel like you kind of say, what is novelty? Like that's the line.
That's literally what I was just gonna say. What makes a novelty act? Because Raylan Clark, in hindsight, he could sing.
Yeah.
He had a big personality.
Entertaining.
The only thing that made him a novelty act, let's be real, was the fact that he was a big old homosexual. Do you know what I mean?
If he'd
just come out and stood in a suit and sang,
he
wouldn't have been a novelty act at all.
100%.
It was only the way that he was portrayed that it was portrayed as a novelty act. Mm. Whereas a few years later, you had someone like Sean Miley Moore, when people were a bit more forward-thinking, who was in exactly the same boat. He dressed very theatrically. He performed very over-the-top songs. But he was never viewed as a novelty act. He was viewed as like a serious contender in the competition.
But he had an incredible voice, to be fair. A much better voice than Ryland.
Yeah, but Ryland never had a bad voice. Ryland was never John and Edward or like Wagner or anything like that. He was just...
But he was no Mariah.
No, he was no Mariah and he was no Leona Lewis. But who won that series? Oh, James Arthur. But let's not go there. Sorry, Francesca, what were you going to say?
Sarah Alto, like, yes, she had an amazing voice, came second, but she was very theatrical and it was very like massive dresses and big stage presence. Like, is that how they're going to go down the route of like novelty in itself too? I don't know. I just think if they're going to stop it, they've got to be very careful about where the lines are there.
The only thing that really annoys me about novelty acts, and I don't really have a problem with them, is how one year you will have Simon Cowell slating John and Edward, like how it's bad that they're like there and like, you know, they're ruining the competition, etc., etc. But the next year he's like putting Stevie Ritchie through to the final. I'm like, come on, if you're going to like create this narrative, like see it forward.
Yeah, then he backs
like
Honey G and gives her like a record later. It's just like, oh, it makes me feel a bit nice.
But Jedward and Honey G and Stevie Ritchie, they're from two very different realms of the X Factor. It was like after Simon Cowell came back, after the Gary Barlow years.
The years that we don't like to talk about.
Yeah, I think he knew by that point that the show wasn't going to make any more superstars. I mean, I think the last like good people to really come out, the last really good person to come out of The X Factor, dare I say it, is James Arthur.
Yeah, and
was Little Mix before or after?
Little Mix is before James Arthur.
Fine.
So yeah, I think he's... no one's dissing Little Mix. Not on this podcast. Not on my watch, Francesca. All right, well, we'll have to wait and see how the X Factor pans out. It's coming back in autumn, and we'll see whether they've got novelty acts or they don't. I do know they're filming at Thorpe Park, so...
I mean, that's just another massive... We're not having novelty acts this year, but we're going to film at a theme park.
That's going to be so boring.
Louis Walsh on a roller coaster.
Oh, it's going to be boring.
Let's
like, they think it's a bit
off.
Excitement.
Oh! We all know my beef with Louis Walsh. If you don't...
Google it.
Google it. Yeah.
All right, moving on from Ash's personal beef with Louis Walsh, which has been raked up. I want to talk to you about Blue Peter because it's had a bit of a bad week this week, thanks to reports that a recent episode of the show pulled in zero viewers. So before we talk about this, let's just get it technically right. So technically, it was recorded as having zero viewers, this one episode of Blue Peter. But number one, the episode in question was a repeat shown at 2:30 in the afternoon on CBBC, specially aired for deaf viewers. And number two, ratings are recorded using these barb boxes, which is technology that like 5,000 people have. So it's not actually that representative of what people are watching. It's based on actually quite a small sample. Regardless, it did pull in zero viewers, which pulled in a big debate about whether it was time to axe Blue Peter, whether, you know, it's been going for like a million years, whether it's had its day. And that got me thinking about kids' TV in general and how it's different to when we were kids. So do we think that basically kids today are missing out on what we had? Because we you know, we're all in our mid-20s. We grew up in like the 90s, which was a really golden age for kids' TV.
Yeah, it was. It was amazing. There were so many great shows on when we were kids. Like, you know, there was two... I remember you were either a CBBC kid or you were a CITV kid and you'd sort of like had your allegiance. And there were just so many great shows. Like, I look back fondly about kids TV from the
90s. Oh my God, dig it. Like, absolutely. Fern Cotton and Dez.
I mean,
like,
I think you were the only
highlights.
Dig it fan, to be fair, of all the high-profile Saturday morning shows to like.
Sorry. Don't think so, somehow. I'm not the only Dig it fan. of the era.
That's
surely.
So weird though, because like you're only like 2 years younger than me, but also I feel like I passed Digger a little bit, so it's weird.
You're
like
old, oh,
yeah, like, but even just by yeah, you seem really sorry about that. Like even by 2 years, like the differences. But it was just a really long era of good, especially like Saturday morning TV.
Saturday, what you had like Live and Kicking, SMTV Live. I think just as I was kind of growing up, they had the Saturday Show.
See, I used to really like the Saturday Show, but I feel like it was never quite as popular as SMTV Live.
I didn't really watch that one. No, it was SMTV.
See, I really liked the Saturday Show because they had Top of the Pops Saturday. And so they would do like the regular whatever, splatting each other with Gunge and all that. But then they would have the Saturday Show, Top of the Pops Saturday. And that's when they would talk about, have all the pop stars on, and they'd be reviewing the singles of the week. And that was what I was always really into. And I feel like that is what is missing today. Is like something where you get all these, you know, we would have like Steps and Girls Aloud and all these people in the studio together and like interacting and messing about. And I feel like you just don't get that anymore.
And I think that's really sad. And I think that's a definite like symptom of kids' TV today. Like everything's put on like these, like, well, not obscure because they're quite mainstream channels, but like they're put on separate channels. They're not on sort of the ITV, the BBC, like BBC One, BBC Two anymore.
Yeah, they're on separate kids'
they're
channels.
They're shunted over to like these digital only channels. And I just think it's really sad because I think that I would never, ever like go to CBBC or CITV as a destination, as an adult, I'm talking now. But maybe if I was just sat there,
I can't imagine you would, no.
But if something was on a Saturday morning on BBC One and I just flicked the telly on, I might sit there and watch that, you know. Like, my parents used to watch SMTV Live with me.
I was about to say that. My dad used to watch all that
stuff. And if SMTV Live, well, when it does come back next year, I will be watching it. Like, and if it came back properly, I would probably sit down of a Saturday morning and watch SMTV Live, like...
So you would watch it if it came, but obviously the SMTV reunion that's happening, that's going to be aimed at people our age because it's all nostalgia-based. Yeah. But if they brought it back as a new format with new presenters, would you watch it?
I probably would. And I think
I would as well, but it would depend who was presenting it.
They've made attempts to do this recently. So I know ITV had Scrambled recently, and I know that because I actually know someone on it because I went to uni with them.
All right, name drop.
Name drop.
Come on, name drop.
But I think for various reasons, it hasn't really worked because they've put it on, it starts at like 7:30 in the morning. So I kind of think, well, yeah, some kids are up that time, but like adults aren't up that time. Like, and I think like...
not on a Saturday.
The BBC, to be fair, have announced that they are going to do a new magazine style Saturday morning show.
Have
but
they?
Again, I think it's on a digital channel, which I think is a real shame because I think they've got a real opportunity there to sort of bring in this new audience. Instead, we just get Saturday Kitchen.
And all, well, there's nothing wrong with a bit of Saturday Kitchen. But also the kids who don't have cable are missing out.
Yeah.
Like the kids who have just got like standard.
Well, you have to have your Freeview box these days, don't you, to get a TV, and it's all on Freeview.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
All right, well, I don't really clearly know a lot about how the world of television works. My qualm with like kids' TV right now is that I feel like people like Ant and Dec were like, they didn't, and like all those presenters who were on at that time, they didn't talk to you, like they didn't talk down to you.
Yeah.
And I feel like so much content now that is geared towards kids, and a lot of it is on YouTube, it's very patronizing, and it's very, I just feel like I wouldn't engage with that when I was a kid. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Well, I know what Rachel would say. If Rachel was here, she'd be the first to point out, well, you know, kids are watching stuff online these days. Kids are watching stuff on YouTube.
I was just about to say that. Like, I was like, I don't know if the audience is there as much as it was when we were, because like when we wake up on a Saturday, of course we just put the TV on and put like BBC One, like ITV on, but like I honestly think that you'll have children, like young teens, on their iPads, all that kind of stuff, watching YouTube and like getting their stuff that way on a Saturday morning, spend their time
there. What about
there?
The kids that don't have, like, aren't allowed access to technology? Because I don't know if I was young today, I don't know if my parents would have given me a tablet and an iPhone like at the age of like 10, 11.
Mine definitely would. Mine would be like, you just go in that corner, don't disturb us for another second.
But also the kids that can't afford it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's always going to be an audience there. And I just feel like kids' TV is always like, it's always the first one that they announce cuts, when they announce budget cuts, like, it's always the first thing to go. Like, ITV, I think about 10 years ago, decided that they weren't going to make any more in-house kids' TV shows. And all it's meant is that their channel is now just populated of repeats of stuff. I mean, they're still showing My Parents Are Aliens. Like, that was still on when, like, I used to watch kids' TV.
Are they genuinely still showing My Parents Are Aliens on CITV?
And
that is unfortunate.
Yeah. Because it wasn't even the greatest show. And they're just so showing a load of American imports that are just cheap. And
I was going to say, so I was thinking more like about Nickelodeon and Disney Channel and that kind of stuff, which I was a guest on the Disney Channel show.
Sure, what were you doing on the Disney Channel?
Yep.
What were you doing there?
They was like, you know, like Make-A-Wish thing, and I just wrote in saying I wanted to be a presenter on the Disney show, so they gave me a call.
Is that on YouTube?
Huh?
Is that on YouTube?
Oh, God, never checked. Oh, God, panic.
All right, well, that's something to check out. Yeah. I was on the Disney Channel as well.
You?
Yeah, I won a writing competition when I was a kid, and I got to be on the Disney Channel.
That's what I presented for the day, like for the morning. So I like.
All right, well, you win, but that's still.
That's cool.
Both guys have got a Disney Channel.
But yeah, that like that kind of magazine shows, like I was absolutely obsessed with. Like,
yeah, same. And it was because you felt like you were in on it. Like, yeah. You felt like they were like a group of people who really presented themselves as mates, and you really felt like you were getting in on their crowd and on their gang.
Well, I think as well, like, nothing is high profile these days, apart from Blue Peter, which obviously has been running, but it's only really because of that legacy that it has that it is a name today. Like, I think if they launched like a new magazine show, it would struggle to find a following. But like, I remember like SMTV Live and Kicking, they had like all these spin-off things. So they had like DVDs or videos. They had CD-ROMs where like, yeah, you could make their own show. Like, it was a full-on, like, magazines, like Live and Kicking magazine. Like, it was so huge back then. But now I'm just like, if they try to do something like that now with the tools that they've got, I just don't know if they could.
All right, well, we've got to move on, sadly, because we've been talking about this for about 100 years. the last thing I want to talk to you about is Kesha's comeback single this week. She is one of my favourite people, and she finally released her first single since 2012, her first solo single since 2012, which is called Prayin'. Obviously, it's been very well documented. She's had a really, really tough few years. And this song is just so good.
I'm so obsessed with it.
Like, it's obsessed. So powerful. It's so intense. It's basically all about moving forward, putting the past behind you, and like learning to have empathy for people who've wronged you, which obviously, given everything she's gone through, is like a really big thing. So we're obviously loving it, but we don't know whether it's going to be a massive smash or if it's going to, you know, kind of bomb in the charts. But whatever happens, it's great to see Kesha doing what she wants to do, which means she's basically nailed this comeback. So with her doing such a good job, what are some of our other favourite pop comebacks from the years?
I mean, I could tell you some of my least favourites, but...
well, you know what? Let's go that way first. What are some of your least favourites?
Not to put a negative spin on the chat, but far be it from me to ever do that.
Cynical Ash.
I mean, I hate to bring her up because I feel like I love her, but I constantly slag her off. But Lady Gaga, like... Sorry, the last two eras have just been very messy. They've been massively hyped at the start and then failed to deliver. And I just think when you're going into this new era, especially when you sort of set your stall out at the start of a new era, you have to kind of deliver on this theme. Like, look at the art pop era, for example.
Well, can I just interrupt you and say, so you're saying that Lady Gaga has failed to deliver on both counts. What is your definition of delivering? Because in terms of success... Both those albums, Joanne and Art Pop, got to number one. Mm-hmm. All over the world.
Fine.
Sell out tours.
But as a
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Coachella Festival.
But as a fan, I want consistency. So, like, when you're going to put on your pink hat...
So, basically, are you saying that her new albums weren't like her first and you expect it to be like that?
Yeah.
Therefore, it's not a...
Well, not that, because I appreciate that every artist has to do something different in each sort of album and era that they go through. But if you're going to be like, right, I'm putting on my pink hat, I'm going to be Joanne, like, do it, like, own it, like, sell it and make that your whole album campaign. Then not release a non-album single halfway through the album campaign and just be like, oh, I'm not Joanne anymore. I'm singing about The Cure. And
I mean, yeah, all of that post-Super Bowl, post-Coachella, here's a new single that hasn't got anything to do with anything else. I agree. That's the makings of a bad comeback in general. Mess. What would we say was a good comeback? Because you're saying, Ash, that you don't like Lady Gaga coming back these past couple of times because it's been such a change in direction. But is that not what you want when someone who's been away from a while? You want to feel like they've learned something and grown?
Potentially. I mean, I just long for old school Lady Gaga, so I'm probably like I'm probably just biased because I just want the fame back. But
you want Bad Romance back.
You want Bad Romance.
I just want Bad Romance Mark II.
Can I say Rihanna?
Yes.
Because does that technically count as a comeback?
Well, it depends what we're talking about, but I would say probably yes.
Because of her last album.
Oh my God, yes.
I was 100%. like so obsessed with it, but it was nothing, I don't think personally, like what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And nothing like anyone would think of like Rihanna like 10 years ago.
Did you like it or did you not like it?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Completely loved it. And I just think, I think she nailed it because the whole album to me felt such in sync with it all.
Yeah.
It was like really well stitched together.
Well, it's like the opposite of what Ash is saying.
Yeah, I guess. And then... So Rachel and I saw it at V, and she was, I mean, she was like an hour late. But then when she come on, she was, I was just like, you are my queen. She was just awesome with it.
She's, I think with this whole anti-Rihanna era, it felt like she's doing exactly what she wants to do. And she's presenting herself exactly as she wants to. Also, can I just say that I saw her on tour for the same album. She was about 5 minutes early.
Oh,
I've never known anything like it. We were like, should we go to the bar? You know she's going to be like an hour and a half late. Early. Five minutes early. Yeah, we were unprepared. Suddenly there she was doing stay. Mind you, there were about 10 people in the crowd at Wembley Stadium that night. But it was, you know what? It was a great night regardless, which is a testament to Rihanna. Who would we like to see come back? And actually, who wouldn't we?
So I'm going to be positive.
Ooh, y'all wanted a twist?
So I really want to see Kylie make a comeback.
Yes.
Because I feel... The last album campaign was a little bit, it was a bit messy.
Sorry, are we talking about Kylie Christmas or like?
As much as we love Kylie Christmas.
Is that what you're talking about? Are you talking about Kiss Me Once?
Kiss Me Once. Yeah, it was a bit messy. Like, she didn't really get much radio play. I would love to see her come back with the sort of like the Aphrodite, like, stuff that she did. Because, not that I think that that was better than the last material, but it seemed like, she knew exactly where she was going with that sort of campaign. And I kind of want to see her have that sort of similar level of success again. I don't know personally whether she will, because I know a lot of stations won't playlist her anymore, which I always think is really limiting in terms of... No, I know, Fran,
that's
they're
so
fucking
sad.
Ageist.
Oh my God,
ageist.
So
don't you talk to me about ageism. Madonna, Living for Love.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
People can talk about her falling off the stage at the Brit Awards, but they won't play her bastard music, will they? But Nick Grimshaw, yes, I'm talking to you.
Kylie's actually a good, like, she's a really good example of someone who really did a really good comeback, because she kind of went down that whole dance route for a bit in the 90s, and it really didn't go very well for her. But then she came back with On a Night Like This and, like, that album, and that was insane, and then came back with Fever again, and, like, that was just a whole new, like... era for her in terms of her career, I think.
Yeah, that was like, that was a very well executed comeback.
Can I come up, can I say one which I think is a bit controversial?
Oh, yes.
I would love to see Cheryl do an album.
Oh, mate, don't. I would love to see Cheryl come back.
Oh, okay, good. I didn't know how this would go down, because she's done a few songs which I loved when she did, you know, that one with, was it Tiny Temper she did one with?
Oh, Crazy Stupid Love.
Yeah, and the one that she doesn't care.
I don't care.
Don't care.
That one there.
The one that she doesn't care. Otherwise known as I Don't Care.
Yeah.
Sorry, Fran, please do continue.
I loved them. I absolutely loved them. And I know she performed them on The X Factor, and I think she was awesome. But I would absolutely love the day to have a whole album by Cheryl. But if she went for it, and I, like, tour and an album and promo and did all that, I would be so over that.
Her problem is she doesn't commit. Like, I don't feel like she really wants to be a pop star.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'd need an album.
The thing is, with Cheryl, I don't think she's necessarily thrilled with the music that she's been making. When you think about when she first came out with Fight for This Love and Parachute, there were, like, she'd just come from Girls Aloud and there were elements of R&B in there, and you could tell that was where she wanted to go, but then she ended up going a totally different route with, like, A Million Lights and all of that. And I think if she was allowed to just do what she wanted, I think she'd be much more passionate about it, because Cheryl is a bit like Britney Spears. You can see when she is thrilled to be there, and you can see she throws everything into it, but when she doesn't, she does not want to be there. And she's not afraid to
let
it show.
But the thing is, I think the music she wants to make is not the music that people want of her. It's not the music people want from her.
And that's exactly it. So if she sold half as many records, but she was doing what she wanted to do, the headline would be Cheryl Flops. And but that, because she's got such a high
people want the
profile.
Call the Call My Names. They don't
they want
the,
pop,
the
yeah.
They don't want the, like, weird album R&B track that she wants to release.
I would love her R&B album. I think it would be so good.
Listen, I've slagged Cheryl off a lot in the past, but it's only because I'm a former fan who knows what she's capable of. I feel like Michelle Visage on Drag Race. Like, I know what she's capable of. I know what she's got in her, but I just feel like she's not bringing it to the runway.
She's such a great dancer, and I think, like, the shows she does are awesome.
Have you not listened to Three Words, the album? Because I feel you'd like it.
me.
It's her first album. Like, we should, if you want a Cheryl R&B album, I'd say listen to that album. It's personally not my taste and what I want from her, but I think you'd be into it.
I'll let you know how I get on with that one.
All right, well, before you go streaming that one, should we finish with this week's quiz?
Yes.
Be rude not to.
So, first of all, shout out to John Johnson, because I had no idea what to do for a quiz this week and John suggested this. So, John, you're a dream man. Inspired by our earlier conversation about X Factor novelty acts.
Ash is going to know so much about this.
In the bag, mate.
Oh. Ash is going to know a lot about this. Yes. But you know what? Take him down.
Okay,
you've got it in you. Not that I'm taking sides or anything, but wipe the floor with him. So this week we're going to do a higher or lower quiz based around how long various X Factor novelty acts stayed in the competition.
Oh, bring it on.
All right. So are you with us? I'm going to give you some novelty acts and you tell me whether they stayed higher or lower number of weeks than the person before them.
Okay.
Does anybody have a preference about who goes first?
Ash.
All right. I was going to say you could go first because you're this week's guest.
Okay. So. Right. Well, so Francesca, you're this week's guest, so you can go first. So the first person is the original X Factor novelty act, Chico. We'll start with him. Johnny Robinson, did he stay a higher or lower number of weeks than Chico?
Do we have a starting point for Chico?
No, we don't.
Okay.
Well, I do know what it is, but I'm keeping it secret for now.
Did Johnny Robinson stay in the competition for longer or less than Chico? I think less.
That is correct, Francesca. Yes! Johnny Robinson stayed for 5 weeks and Chico stayed for 8.
Wow.
Yeah, he did. Chico got a number one single and knocked Madonna off the top spot, which is something I've never forgotten and will never forgive the British public for.
Why, I did go and I did see Chico perform Chico Time.
I'm disgusted by that news.
But I'm one point up, so it's all good.
And I saw the Confessions tour as a rebellion. All right, Ashley. Last year's Woman of the Hour, Honey G, did she stay a higher or lower number of weeks than Johnny Robinson?
Higher.
Yeah, that's right. She stayed for 8 weeks as well. Finishing fifth place. Yes, because the British public can't be trusted with shit. No, Francesca.
Yeah.
Stevie Ritchie. Former Celebrity Big Brother housemate and frequenter of The Harvester. Did he stay a high... He is, he loves The Harvester.
I know, it's just...
He went with Simon Cowell for Scampi and Chips.
Just the mere mention of a harvester now makes me want the salad cart.
Oh, I think it's terribly dry. No, I'll tell you where you want to go for a free salad.
Pizza buffet.
That's the one. Francesca.
Uh-huh.
Stevie Ritchie, higher or lower than Honey G?
Lower.
That's right, he stayed 1 week less. He was 7 weeks, Honey G was 8. Ash, two shoes.
Oh, I loved them. Shoes.
And I know the answer to this because I was devastated that they left so early. It's lower.
It's lower. They stayed for 1 week. But you know what? The impact they had. Both of you absolutely loving two shoes.
Yeah. There's a little shoe now as well. Because one of them's had a baby. Oh. And it's literally called Little Shoe.
She didn't call her kid Little Shoe.
I don't think she actually did call it Little Shoe. But it's affectionately known
as
Little
Shoe. Oh, I nearly
Shoe.
Fell off my chair there. Imagine if she called her child Little Shoe. After having been on the X Factor for 1 week. I would understand if she'd won and it was like, all right, fair enough. Little Shoe, that's dreadful. All right, well, you're both doing well here. Francesca, Diva Fever. Did they stay for higher or lower than two shoes?
Higher.
That's right. Yeah, they stayed for 2 weeks.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. They did, I can't remember what songs they did, but they stayed for 2 weeks. Okay. Ash, Jedward. Higher or lower than...
Oh, higher.
Yeah, that's right, Jedward. Other Celebrity Big Brother housemates. And I don't know if they've ever been to The Harvester, but I'm going to say they have. You know, they're going to be on...
Do they have The Harvester in Ireland, though?
Well, they're in the UK a lot.
True.
And they're on the road. I feel like, you know, when you're on that X Factor tour, it's like Harvester or nothing, innit? All right, Wagner. Higher or lower than Jedward?
That's a tricky one.
That is a tricky one. What do you reckon? Who won the British public's hearts more?
Wagner's bongos won my heart more.
I don't need to hear how much Wagner's bongos won your heart. I don't even want to venture down that avenue. I feel like I need to scrub myself while you think.
I think the British people loved Wagner more.
That is correct. God, no one's had a wrong answer yet.
I was Wagner's chaperone at the X Factor auditions, just as a little FYI.
Oh my God, what was he like?
He was very odd, told me about his pet lion. that he used to keep, because he used to be a lion tamer.
Have you seen the picture of him as a young man with that lion?
And then I had to carry his shoes from one part of the arena to another part.
What about the smell like?
I can't remember his scent, to be honest.
I imagine he smells good.
He was wearing a like a tooth necklace at the time, though, I seem to remember.
That is... Ash, you lived the life.
Mate, it was living the dream.
And he's obviously inspired your style choices ever since. All right, Kitty Brucknell, did she stay higher or lower?
Oh, remind me what the last
No, don't.
She stayed for eight. Wagner stayed for 8 weeks.
I'm gonna say less. I reckon she stayed for like six or seven.
She stayed for 6 weeks. So that's correct. Well, you're a level pegging, and we're at the tiebreak. So basically, first one to shout out. How many weeks did Rylan Clark stay in the competition for?
Seven.
Ash, any advances on seven?
He finished fifth. So...
I need to press you for an answer. I've got a lunch break to take.
I want to say seven as well, but can we say the same answer? We can't say the same answer, can we?
No. I won't allow it.
I'm going to say eight then.
Oh, Francesca, you played a good game, but Ash is correct. Rylan stayed for 8 weeks in the competition. Congratulations, pet. That is all we've got time for this week, so I'm off to stream Honey G's latest single 25,000 times in the hopes that I can get it to chart in the top 40. We'll be back next week. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Laters!